In this episode of The God That Would Girl Live Your Purpose as a Christian Entrepreneur Bible Study, we are diving into Acts chapter 17.
I'm Stephanie Rodinez, and welcome to the Live Your Purpose as a Christian Entrepreneur Bible Study. My goal is to encourage the discouraged with scripture, inspiration, and resources to help you do exactly what God purposed you to do on this earth, become a Christian entrepreneur. The definition of a God That Would Girl is a woman of Christ who says yes to her God-given purpose, no matter what everyone else tries to say or do. So if you are stepping into your purpose as a Christian entrepreneur, welcome to the God That Would Girl sisterhood. You are my people, and I can't wait to meet you. Now let's dive into today's episode. And remember, if you want to join me for these live recordings on God That Would Girl's Instagram feed, join me at God That Would Girl on Instagram now. Let's dive right in.
Let's get started with the word of prayer. Father God in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to read your word today, Lord. We just love you so much. I adore you, Father God, and I invite your presence in here with us as we look at what you have to say, Lord Jesus, in this chapter. Help us be able to see what you want us to see and hear what you want us to hear. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, my love. So we are picking up in Acts chapter 17. We just learned, we just saw, you know, the first chapter of Paul kind of traveling this road without Barnabas, you know, doing his thing with Silas. So let's pick up in Acts chapter 17 where Paul, I mean, honestly, for the rest of Acts, if I remember correctly, we don't hear too much about Barnabas anymore. So I do wonder how the rest of his ministry ended up going. We know how Paul's went. Paul ended up writing most of the New Testament. So praise God, his was pretty successful, even though they had that falling out. So we're picking up in Acts chapter 17. We are in the easy to read version. Paul and Silas traveled through the cities of Amphipolis and Apollonia. They came to the city of Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. Paul went into the synagogue to see the Jews as he always did. The next 3 weeks, on each Sabbath day, he discussed the scriptures with them. He explained the scriptures to show them that the Messiah had to die and then rise from death. He said, "This Jesus that I'm telling you about is the Messiah." Some of the Jews there believed Paul and Silas and decided to join them. Also, a large number of Greeks who were worshippers of the true God and many important women joined them. So in these first four verses, there's something that really sticks out to me as a Christian entrepreneur that I love. You know how, like, when God gives us our products and services that he wants us to use to forcefully advance his kingdom, right? He wants us to use the products and services we offer to help people see his name. So Paul has this product. If you think about it in terms of an entrepreneur, he has this product. He's able to break down the scriptures according to Jewish law and explain how they point to the Messiah, how they point to Jesus as the Messiah. So that's pretty much his product. When he's trying to find people who are in need of this product, he doesn't go to places like bars, right, and clubs and bathhouses. he doesn't go to idol temples and things like that. He goes where people are already gathering who have a need for the solution that he provides. People are going to the synagogue to learn about God and to understand how to serve him. People are going to the synagogue to listen to the leaders explain the scriptures to them so that they can know how to live their lives. Paul goes into the synagogue. That's where he goes to present this message, to present this solution to people who are looking for it. And he does it consistently. If you see what it says in verse 2, Paul went into the synagogue to see the Jews as he always did. The next 3 weeks on each Sabbath day, he discussed the scriptures with them. He was consistent, sisters in Christ. He found the group of people who had the problem that he solved, and he consistently went to them, telling them about his solution to their problem, which in this case was the gospel. And for us as Christian entrepreneurs, we can use that in our businesses too, to help us understand how we can bring these products and services God has called us to serve with to people who need them. Ask yourself, where are the people who need your products and services congregating online? They're always somewhere. If you're in the School of Business, you've done my extensive market research that I take you through. I think it's module 3, where you go through and you literally find where are the people who want your stuff. You find where they're gathered, right? So if you're not in the School of Business, you need to put on that marketing hat and think about, where are these people gathered who need the solution that you provide. And now, once you know where they are, whether that's on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, wherever it is, now you need to consistently show up and present to them the solution to their problem. Consistently. Not just when you feel like it. Not only when you got a good night's sleep. Not when you're like, oh, yes, I feel motivated today. Let me tell you, at the time of recording this podcast right now, I am exhausted. I woke up this morning just so tired. And I was like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to record this podcast episode today, but your favor is here. And I'm praying for the Lord to be here with me. And I'm doing it because my goal, by the grace of Jesus, is to get consistent. I've not been consistent with this podcast at all. I want for at least the rest of the year, by the grace of God, to consistently put out a new episode every Monday through Thursday. So I showed up. I'm tired. You could probably tell I'm tired from the sound of my voice, but I showed up. So I want you to do the same exact thing. Use Paul's example in your own business. Find out where the people are who have the problem that you solve and consistently show up and let them know how you're solving their problem. Verse 5, but the Jews who did not believe became jealous. So they got some bad men from around the city to make trouble. They formed a mob and caused a riot in the city. They went to Jason's house looking for Paul and Silas. They wanted to bring them out before the people. When they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the other believers to the city leaders. The people shouted, these men have made trouble everywhere in the world, and now they've come here too. Jason is keeping them in his house. They all do things against the laws of Caesar. They say there's another king called Jesus. They sound like little rats. Verse 8. When the city leaders and the other people heard this, they became very upset. They made Jason and the other believers deposit money to guarantee that there would be no more trouble. Then they let them go. You see how when you're trying to do something positive, other people get jealous of you and so they start spreading lies about you? Because that's what they were doing. They were spreading lies about them. You have to, when that happens, you have to stay encouraged and keep your eyes on Christ. Don't let people distract you from what God is asking you to do. One of the things I can guarantee you in your business is that there are going to be haters. It just is what it is, my love. I wish that weren't the way the world works, but it just is what it is. There are always haters. There are those people who are going to say those underhanded insults, right? Or those backhanded compliments to you to make you feel bad about yourself, to make you question whether or not what you're doing is even valuable or worth anything. You're going to have those people who send those nasty emails or put those nasty comments. It is what it is. It is what it is. They did it to Paul, and he wasn't even lying. Jesus is the Messiah. He was telling the truth. He was trying to help them. But it is what it is, and you have to just keep moving, and that's what Paul and Silas do. So verse 10, that same night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to another city named Berea. When they arrived there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. You see how they didn't say, oh, in the last city when we went to the Jewish synagogue, this and that happened. The mob tried to come after us. Let's not do that again. Nah, they used the same exact formula because that's what God asked them to do. Verse 11, the people in Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. Thessalonica. I don't know how to say that. They were so glad to hear the message Paul told them. They studied the scriptures every day to make sure that what they heard was really true. The result was that many of them believed, including many important Greek women and men. So you see how because Paul and Silas didn't let the failure from the last city stop them from consistently showing up and sharing their message, right? These people were able to study the scriptures and believe in God. These are Greeks. They were able to believe in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior because Paul and Silas did not let the previous failure stop them from doing what God asked them to do. So whatever it is God is putting on your heart to do, I know you're feeling it right now. I know you're hearing it right now. For me, I'm hearing it very, very clearly. I have been struggling with the idea of not being able to make movies as quickly as I wanted to. So I've been in kind of like this battle of what my next step with God Would Grow TV, the app that I'm building, what that's actually going to look like. And I know what God is telling me he wants it to look like. And even though I feel a little resistant, because, you know, I'm an introvert, so it's hard for me to put myself out there like that. I can feel clearly what God is asking me to do. And that's what I need to step into. So whatever it is God is asking you right now, step into it. Say yes to it. And don't worry about anything that may have gone wrong before. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Failure happens in every situation, to everybody. Paul and Silas didn't do anything wrong in the previous city. Just hate is gonna hate. So keep it moving, keep your eyes on Christ, and get done what he's asking you to get done. Verse 13, but when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was telling people God's message in Berea, they came there too. They upset the people and made trouble. Believe how the haters actually follow them. Verse 14, so the believers immediately sent Paul away to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea. Those who went with Paul took him to the city of Athens. They returned with the message for Silas and Timothy to come and join him as soon as they could. Loves, the haters may hate and they may follow you, but keep it moving and keep on going. God has something in store for you to get done, and that's all that matters. All right, sis, thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Let's pause for a moment for today's sponsor. Verse 16. While Paul was waiting for Silas and Timothy in Athens, he was upset because he saw that the city was full of idols. In the synagogue, he talked with the Jews and with the Greeks who were worshipers of the true God. He also went to the public square every day and talked with everyone who came by. Some of them Epicurean and some of the Stoic philosophers argued with him. Some of them said, "This man doesn't really know what he's talking about. What is he trying to say?" Paul was telling them the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. So they said, "He seems to be telling us about some other gods." They took Paul to a meeting of the Areopagus Council, and they said, "Please explain to us this new idea that you've been teaching. The things you are saying are new to us. We've never heard this teaching before, and we want to know what it means." The people of Athens and the foreigners who lived there spent all their time either telling or listening to all the latest ideas. Verse 22. Then Paul stood up before the meeting of the Areopagus Council and said, "Men of Athens, everything I see here tells me you are very religious. I was going through your city and I saw the things you worship. I found an altar that had these words written on it, 'To an unknown God.' You worship a God that you don't know. This is the God I want to tell you all about." And my sisters who are listening, if you wonder for examples of how to present the gospel of Christ, this chapter is another example of how to present the gospel of Christ. This is yet another example for you. Verse 24, "He is the God who made the whole world and everything in it. He is the Lord of the land and the sky. He does not live in temples built by human hands. He is the one who gives people life, breath, and everything else they need. He does not need help. He does not need any help from them. He has everything he needs. God began by making one man, and from him, he made all the different people who live everywhere in the world. He decided exactly when and where they would live. God wanted people to look for him, and perhaps in searching all around for him, they would find him. But he's not far away from any of us. It is through him that we are able to live, to do what we do, and to be who we are. As your own poets have said, we all come from him." Verse 28 is one of my favorite scriptures. It's through him that we're able to live, to do what we do, and to be who we are. Isn't that beautiful? It's like Jesus is the reason why I get to be here recording a podcast. Jesus is the reason why, all glory to God, I woke up warm and comfortable in bed next to my husband this morning. Jesus is the reason that I'm even able to be 34 years old right now living in South Florida. Jesus is the reason why I get to use social media and have my own business and be working on a novel. Like, all of that is from Jesus himself. And everything in your life, my sister, it's the Lord who is part of it. And that's why it's so important to make sure we don't compartmentalize our life and keep God out of certain sections. My husband was talking to me a lot about this because the novel that I'm writing right now, it's a Christian romance novel, and the lead character in the novel, she keeps God out of her professional life. She keeps him out of her decisions where it comes to her art and her purpose and her career. She only goes to God about stuff that has to do with the church, but nothing that has to do with her business or her occupation. And my husband was telling me, like, a lot of the depression that I went through during those 2 years when my first business failed was because I kept God out of my career. I didn't involve him in that decision when I signed that contract with that distribution company. I never even prayed about it. I just signed it. I was like, this is a sign. And I signed it without even getting a lawyer. And when I went to that meeting and met the team at that distribution company, it was very clear that they were not followers of the Lord Jesus. Very clear. And I still thought it was a good idea to join this partnership with them. So my husband was explaining to me that when we keep God out of portions of our life, we're not allowing ourselves to be who we really are. Because true freedom comes from Jesus. True freedom comes from letting the Holy Spirit flow through us and speak through us and surround us and embrace us. And if we try to keep him out of something, we're now constricted. We're now confining ourselves and chaining ourselves to this life of that we weren't meant to live. This life of always questioning and wondering, is this the right decision? Am I doing the right thing? So involve God in everything that you do. Because like that verse says, it's through him that we're able to live, to do what we do, and to be who we are. Verse 29. That's right. We all come from God. So you must not think that he is like something people imagine or make. He's not made of gold, silver, or stone. In the past, people did not understand God, and he overlooked this. But now, he is telling everyone in the world to change and turn to him. He has decided on a day when he will judge all the people in the world in a way that is fair. To do this, he will use a man he chose long ago, and he has proved to everyone that this is the man to do it. He proved it by raising him from death. When the people heard about Jesus being raised from death, some of them laughed. But others said, "We will hear more about this from you later." So Paul left the council meeting, but some of the people joined with Paul and became believers. Among them was Dionysus. These names, I'm telling you. Dionysus, a member of the Areopagus Council, a woman named Damaris, and some others. So that's chapter 17 in the book of Acts. Sisters in Christ, if you're listening to me and you're saying to yourself, okay, so I feel in my gut that God, who he wants me to be, is a Christian entrepreneur. He wants me to start a business, but I'm not quite sure how to do it. I have a free Christian business toolkit that'll help you get started. You can get it by going to purposegift.com/businesskit. And if you're like, well, Stephanie, to be honest with you, I'm not even sure if I'm a Christian. Sis, I have great news for you. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And what that means is that being a Christian is trusting in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. That's what being a Christian is, believing in what Jesus did for you on the cross. So if you want to make that decision today, it's very, very simple. All you have to do is say this prayer with me. You're going to say, "Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose again. Today, I believe in you as my personal Lord and Savior." Sisters in Christ, if you said that prayer, welcome to the kingdom. Angels are literally celebrating you right now. Your name has been written in the book of life. Nobody can take it out. Get into a Bible-based church in your area and get started getting to know the word of God. He loves you so much, adores you, and wants the best for you. I always recommend starting with the book of John because it's literally like the Lord's love letter to you. And as you're looking for a church, look for a virtual church, my darlings, a virtual church. Stephen Furtick does a live YouTube service every single Sunday. So does Pastor Creflo Dollar on Wednesdays, Pastor T.D. Jakes, Pastor Joel Osteen. So definitely find a virtual Bible-based church that you can join and grow in and be discipled in. And love, God willing, I'll see you on the next episode. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you complete and total purpose over your body, mind, and soul in the name of Jesus. And give you peace, mercy, and favor forever and ever. Amen. So that's it for today's episode of the God That Would Grow Live Your Purpose as a Christian Entrepreneur Bible Study. Have any questions? DM me anytime on Instagram or send an email to hello@godthatwouldgrow.com. I'd love to hear from you. And don't forget to grab my free Find Your Purpose Toolkit to help you get started living God's purpose for your life at purposegift.com. Thanks for listening, God That Would Grow. I'll see you on the next one.